Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it's Tuesday. I love Tuesday nights almost as much as I love Thursdays, and I love Thursdays a little bit more because I get to do this twice in one day. Otherwise, I couldn't even figure it out. How are you tonight, Periscope, Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, and everybody else in between? Now, before we get started, we have to do our homework, and here's your homework. You need to go and tell a whole bunch of people I'm on tonight, and I'm going to talk about, now listen, hear me, so you can tell them why they want to tune in, because I'm going to talk about the 10 stages of divine contact, the 10 stages. Prophet Ashley cannot let her say that to you, you know? But anyway, the 10 stages of divine contact. Will you know God when he shows up? And then if he shows up, can he stay? So, you're going to love it. People are asking all the time, how do I know when it's God? How can I get God to show up? How can I find out where I am in God? You are going to love this. We are going to move into it, but that's number one. So go and tell everybody you know. Dr. Price is going to tell us 10 ways to know how God shows up and where you are in those in that process. Because some of us think we're one place and God and we're someplace else. And you see, God is particular. I know we are fussy about that. We don't think he should be, but God is particular. So we've got a lot of ground to cover in an hour. So I have to get on with it, right? Hallelujah. But do me another big thing. Now it's time for my real favorite part, and that's roll call. Who's out there? Who is out there?
Gainesville, Florida.
Gainesville.
Bossier City. Davis is always on.
She's there with me. She holds me, boy. She keeps me going. Who else?
We have Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Portland. I'll be connecting with you guys real soon in Portland. Hallelujah.
Teague, Texas.
Wow. You know, Texas is a state that you will just, you have to be in politics to know all the names or either the geography teacher. What else do we have?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Hi, Jacksonville, Florida. Miss you already. You know, I'm going to be there in September, Jacksonville. So pray for my arrival and pray for me to hit the ground there and pray for our impact because you're going to love what I'm going to teach in Jacksonville, Florida. What else? Who else is out there?
California and California.
Savannah, Georgia. Savannah. You know, that's a place I haven't been. Do you know I have had so many words from God on Savannah? I never really think about how I'm going to get there. Hi, Savannah. I guess you're going to have to put me on your list.
Tahlequah.
Hi, look, at home, right here at home base, Tahlequah, Oklahoma. I'm glad that I live here because y'all would have never pronounced it right. I have a couple more because I know more people are signing on. But Jackson, Mississippi. Hi, Jackson, Mississippi.
Australia.
Australia. Oh, you know, that's one of our favorite states. Hello, Australia. Thank you for joining me tonight. Wow, that's good. I get to travel around the world.
Liverpool, UK.
Hi, Liverpool, UK. You know, UK, you're one of my people. You're in my heart. You know, I mean, 10 years ago, but I was there all the time. I love UK, and I didn't get Canada, so, you know, Canada's in my heart.
Alberta, Canada.
There we go, Canada. You see, guys, I was waiting for you. I knew you were coming. I wasn't going to leave before you came. Who else do I have out there?
East St. Louis.
East St. Louis. All right, not far from here. That means you all can get over here sometime and talk.
All right, H-Town, Texas, Houston.
Houston! I love the Houstonians. You know, they are vibrant people in the Houston area there. Anybody else? I think we have a couple more, maybe one or two more. If not, I'm going to go on. I just don't want to miss anybody.
Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Columbus! Yes.
Did
I have a Connecticut? You know, Connecticut is out there with this, my apostle's house there. How are you all doing in Connecticut? I'm going to see you guys very soon also. I'm saying this so you all know where to find me. So I'm going to be in Joliet, Illinois in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be in Connecticut. I'm going to be in D.C. for just one night. Only one night, guys. I'm being honored for my work in the prophetic, and so I'll be there one night, and then I'm going to be Jacksonville, Florida. So we have, I'm going to move on that East Coast a little bit there. So, and listen, if you want to get me there, you need to call Prophet Ashley. Prophet Ashley's going to tell you how to get me in your world.
It's Alabama. Alabama's not important. Look,
it's
Alabama. Bring her in.
Hey, Alabama, you know where I am, DrPaulaAPrice.com. Hit the button, book Dr. Price, and you'll find out how to get me in your world. You know, I used to do a lot of work in Huntsville, Alabama. I used to be there so much it was not funny. So, Alabama, I'm no stranger to your state. Hallelujah. But I guess it must be time for me to come back. All right. So, are we all done with the roll call? I didn't get Detroit. I didn't get Clarksville. Okay, Detroit. Do I call my family or what? I call my family. I got Detroit. And, you know, Clarksville, Tennessee told me always. So I just thought I'd let them know. I remember you. Okay, let's get on with our night. We have a lot to cover tonight. Thank you all for joining us. And thank you for letting me know you're there because it's important to me. This is moving. Did you know last week, because you all sent it out, we reached over 100,000 people last week because you all shared. Do you see how powerful we're becoming? Do you see how much you're helping God? Not just Dr. Price. This is something God wants to do. We need apostolic Christians. I will continue to talk to my apostles and prophets in the ministry. We are a team. We are one. You know, I want to say this to you, apostles and apostolic people. I want you to hear this. It took 12 apostles. Jesus had 12 apostles when he started, and that got us here. Do you know how many he has today and where we should be? Come on, apostles, let's show it off. We cannot let the early 12 outdo us, and we're in the 21st century. There is something wrong with that picture. I believe we can take back the world for Jesus Christ. I believe we can take kingdoms for Jesus Christ. He did it once, and he'll do it again, but it takes all of us doing our share. So all of my apostles and prophets and my five folders, all of you all who are listening, standing for Christ, and you want Jesus to take it back. You know the interesting thing about people is we think Jesus is going to move without us. But God needs you. I know you heard a lot of sermons over the years that say God doesn't need you and God can get it done without you. Well, if that's the case, he would have done it. He is not, because he needs you. God needs you. He needs your faith. He needs your fight. He needs your belief. He needs your determination. Some of you all are real warriors in your world, and all you need is a battle. Well, here's one. Let's give Jesus back the planet. Why don't we do that? Now, that's a battle. You want a commission? Your commission. Let's give the planet back to Jesus Christ. So all of you all, my apostolic Christians, all of you all who are apostles, it's going to take all of us doing this, my all of us. This is not a Paula Price thing. This is an apostleship thing, and that includes a lot of people. That includes all nations, all kindreds, tribes, tongues, all people, all races, all of us. And all of us have to do this and give our king back what he gave his life for. That's why I do this, because if Jesus was here in the flesh, he'd have a recourse. He could go to court for his identity being stolen. He can go to court for his words being plagiarized. He can go to court for his kids being kidnapped. He can go to court for his house being broken into, his kingdom being ransacked. He could go to court or have some recourse, but he doesn't have that, because that recourse he leaves to you and to me. That's what we are going to do. That's what this is all about. Now, you know that's good. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You all realize that our Savior suffers identity theft every day and has been doing so since he left the planet. And the only people who can tell us where the true Jesus is are those who are born of his spirit. We are the only ones who can tell the world about the true Jesus Christ. Now, I want to move on. So, we have our book. Remember, this is called Discipling Apostolic Christians, ABCs of Apostleship, Book 2, Discipling Apostolic Christians. By now, you all should have your books, unless you're brand new and joining me. And if you are, go to DrPaulaAPrice.com and get your copy of the book. You can order a soft copy or hard copy. We're there. You can download it, have it right away, or you can go and get it sent to you. But this is worth it. You know, I got to tell you, I'm on fire. The Lord said it, bro. You know, I'm gone. I'm trying. You know, I have got to tell you, the Lord is so excited about what we're doing. You know, I heard somebody say, God is excited. I was like, how you know? But then I read in the Bible in Luke where it said, Jesus rejoiced in spirit because the 10 went out and took out some devils for him. He was thrilled. He said, the Lord rejoiced in spirit. And then he had to, you know, make sure we didn't chase the wrong thing. He said, now don't get all excited about the devil, but get excited because your names are written in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life. God is excited about us doing this, people. I'm telling you, and some of you all who are filled with his spirit, you feel him right now. I'm sure you feel the fire of God and the pleasure of God. And I'm telling you, I live for the pleasure of God. We're doing something great here. I don't care how crazy folk might want to act, and we don't get a lot of crazy. We get our share, but not a lot. And you know why? Because you all asked God for me. Now, you didn't know it was Dr. Paula Price. You did not know it was ABCs of Apostleship. You didn't even know it was Discipling Apostolic Christians. All you knew was that there was more to God than this, and somebody had to have the answers. And God found me for you. I'm here because you pray for me. And I come every week because your prayers keep me going. And don't think I don't hear them, because when I get in prayer, I hear you. So don't stop. I love you dearly. I thank God for you. But we're a team. We're family. We are God's family. Children take care of their parents. And our parents that we're taking care of right now is God. Having said that, I'm going to try to calm down, Ashley. I'm not sure I'm going to make it.
You're not.
All right.
Don't try. Don't hold yourself.
Don't hold back. Okay. I'm not going to hold back now. Now, page 50 of the book, I want to read The Gospel Demystified. While the Bible calls the Gospels, let's back up. What the Bible calls the Gospels, apostolic messengers will tell you, are incomplete synopses of what Jesus lived. They narrate how Jesus thinks and what he wants, and they predict the ways he has predetermined to have his way. Apostles know John the Revelator's word to be true, and then the then world could never contain the books recording the whole minute-by-minute story of Jesus Christ. Now, this gets better. There is no quick way to cover the entirety of God incarnate. Can you imagine? We're still trying to cover God incarnate. It's just one God. We're still trying to figure it out. All right? Sabotage and loss notwithstanding, the Lord's church is therefore left with some synopses, summaries, and brief narrations of what he did on earth. With that, we are still awed and mystified by his life works, with many at a loss to grasp fully the extent of his human divine work. That work, the Holy Spirit will gradually unfold until the end of this age. By the way, here is something you should know as an apostolic Christian. Jesus did not bring a foreign mythic message to earth. He taught the writings of prophets that make up the majority of the Old Testament. Jesus brought God's past into humanity's present. Amazing, their works are what the Holy Spirit uses to propel the Godhead past, present, and forward into humanity's future. What this means is that the whole New Testament unveils the Old Testament prophesied about Yahweh's world, his soul, and his will. These are revealed as his character and inclinations. Scripture is more than a dogma or condemnation. It is God's heart and soul. It captures his life. It captures his divine life experiences and spreads it to all the world. To reinforce this requirement of their commission, Christ bears his soul to his apostles to make his most secret self known. The level of intimacy he establishes between them is to ensure they are proficient in disclosing him in his world to their world. These are the ways the apostles of Jesus Christ are confirmed as trusted stewards of his mystery. You know, we have arguments about Scripture all the time. And I always say to people when they start arguing, well, the Bible never said, and all that. You know, I don't get in all of that. You know why? I will have a wonderful discussion with you. I will have a healthy discussion with you. But we're not going to talk as if you have all the answers or that we have the complete Word of God that was spoken over 3.5 years. Man, if he did 40-hour weeks, which we know he didn't, but let's say Jesus did 40-hour weeks, we still don't have all that he said. We don't have all that he said on the road, in the boat. We don't have all that he said at the dinner table. We capture what he said because he chose what he wanted, and he chose the most timeless elements of his truth to leave with us forever. You know, we hear people talk about the Bible is a synopsis on purpose. It's a synopsis because it's presenting examples and patterns and models. It's not a drama that we can say this is series one and series two. Jesus picked and chose what he wanted written. He picked and chose it after hours. You know, we act like these, but you know, the Mark didn't get what so and so. No, Jesus picked and chose what he wanted those apostles to pass on. And he gave them a super memory. I know it because he gave me some superpowers. He gave them a super memory for them to pass it on to those who were their scribes. So don't, when you start talking about, well, this, you know, the Bible don't say it. That's not in the Bible. First of all, we need to understand that the Bible is an example. That's why you need the teachers. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:11 that the fivefold are to equip you. We are to give you the teachings of God. And apostles instruct you in God's righteousness. That's our job. And I'm very clear about that. So when they say that, I'm like, don't act like those 66 books are the sum of what God said to the earth from beginning to now. And who in the world would assume such? Nobody would assume that. Which is why God gave us the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit carries the full library. And he unfolds it when he gets good and ready. Well, tonight you're going to have a blast. I think you're going to have a blast. I'm going to have a blast, so you need to join me as I enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to our screen. Come on, switch. Oh, wait, I'm going the other way. Oh, I got to adjust. You know, I have to adjust. But at least you don't have to turn as much, right? Is that better? All right, if you look at the screen, you will see. And the little top box, it says, how much do you know about Jesus' salvation and your redemption? Well, many of us know that we could know a little more, that certainly we know enough to say we belong to Jesus Christ and not enough to say totally what that means or to manifest it as he did, which is the process of the Holy Spirit. And the title of this is Stages of Divine Contact, from contact to commitment to communion. Look at this. Mark 13:10 says, the Gospels must first be published among all nations. Mark 16:15 adds, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 15:7 said, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. The understanding is the gospel, first of all, the gospel did not just come to earth when Jesus came. Their revelation and their concentration came. But remember, Galatians 3:8 says that the gospels were preached to Abraham before Abraham was a Jew. You know, we act like Abraham was a Jew. He wasn't. Abraham was a convert from Ur of Chaldea. He was a Babylonian prophet. And when God called him out of his job, oh, yeah, you do have to leave the job. Yeah, you can't stay on it. I thought you'd like me saying that. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Come on and bless me now. He does want you to leave. You are going to have to say goodbye to your friends in that cushy little seat and that wonderful paycheck because God has need of you. But anyway, getting back to Abraham, God brought Abraham out of Ur of Chaldea through his father. We act like, listen, we have to get the facts right. We act as if Abraham just woke up one day and said, I'm just tired of my job. No, Terah, his father, got the call to leave their homeland first for whatever reason. Now, scripture, as we have it, does not go into detail as to why that is so, but he did. And so Abraham left with his dad and his wife and his nephew Lot and the servants. We kind of know that. Now, I'm going to tell you, in order for God to trust you with his truth, he's got to trust you with his truth. Okay? So I know we have so much theology that has been crafted around people's experiences and what we wish happened and what if we were God we would have made happen. But let's get really clear. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not Jews. They were offspring of Abraham, and Abraham was converted to God. Isn't that wonderful? God brought him out of his world to convert him. So they did not have a name for them. You know, they some people say, well, you know, Hebrew was a guy on the other side, the wandering this and the wandering that, whatever it was. But what we call a Jew today, that is not what Abraham was. Which is, why is that important, Dr. Price? Why is it a big deal? Because you need to understand that the covenant came to a man who was to be the father of many nations, and at the time it came, he had no nation. He had lost his nationality. His nationality was God. That's how we were born, people. That's our heritage, that we come from the well-established to the God. What are you doing? You know, I mean, we have to. And so the gospel, according to Galatians 3:8, the gospel was preached to Abraham. Where did it come from, folks? Because we call it the gospel. And, of course, they call it the gospel in some translations. Others say it's evangelism. The others say it's the good news. But we call it that. But where did it come from? Because this thing has been in play a long time. We act as if it got started with Jesus. It did not. And as we move forward and as I do my job as a steward of the mysteries of God, I've got to give you these nuances to help you wrap your head around this massive, amazing thing our God has done. Now, biblically speaking, this is fun. Come on, this is fun. I know you've invited everybody. This is fun. Now, look, biblically speaking, Christian Bible study compels prophetic education. You know, the interesting thing about Bible, Christian Bible studies, you got all these Christians studying the Bible and not believing in prophets. You can tell we just jumped in the middle of the story. We haven't figured out what it is, the middle of the story. We just jumped in. And so, if you're having Christian Bible study, then what you need to do is recognize that you're supposed to learn the prophets. You do need prophetic education. If you are born again from above Christian, you need to know your history, and your history is in the prophetic. Oh, boy, isn't that good? Man, that's good. I'm going to lay back on that for a minute. Ooh, that was smart. You know, every now and then I come out with stuff that really impresses me. But think about it. The Christian history relies on prophetic education. Part of what our issue is that we have these prophets who've never learned the Bible, so thus they don't know the history, thus they have no anchor or measurement for what they're saying. So moving on, because I don't want to have whatever, but let's go on. So now you're going to love this. Are you paying attention? I'm going to wait till everybody's there on the screen because I don't want you to miss this. Because apostolic Christians are fanatical. You know, it's all right to be fanatical about anything, everything but Jesus Christ or your God. And then all of a sudden, you are some sort of idiot. So all the people who are fans of football, they ought to be idiots. Fans of sports, fans of athletics, fans of celebrity. All right? Why is it that they can have fans and their fans are celebrated and us being fans of Jesus Christ, we're not? Because we allow them to do that to us. We allow them to diminish our God, and we allow them to back us in a corner, and we allow them to say, I don't want to hear about that Jesus thing. But then we don't talk. We don't talk. So moving on, don't change, because I'm doing. Ready? Are you ready? Get ready. Pay attention to the screen, because I love acronyms, and here is an acronym for fanatical. Are you set? Get ready. We are fused with the Godhead. We are adopted in God's family. We are naturalized eternal citizens. We are adapted to God's life. We are transferred to his world. We are immortalized beings. Oh, forgive me for that one. We are civilians in God's two worlds, allied with God's hosts, and lastly, legal heirs of Jesus Christ, and that is why we are fanatical. Isn't that great? We're fused with the Godhead, adopted in God's family, naturalized eternal citizens, adopted in God's life, transferred to his world, immortalized beings, civilians in two worlds, allied with God's host, and legal heirs of Jesus Christ. So the next time they call you a fanatic or fanatical, I want you to roll this off. Everybody. Now, I want you to go back. If you're a teacher or a trainer, or if you're a student and you're studying this, even self-study, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go back, and I want you to list all of these, and I want you to make sure teachers, your class know it. Every Bible study teacher, make sure your class knows it. Make sure your intercessors know it, because we need to understand who we are in Christ. I said to you when we first started this back a few months ago, apostles don't just equip you, we arm you. Everything about the language of the apostles includes edification and armament. Part of our edification is armor. Now, I'm having fun. Those part of God come to Jesus Christ. One of the things that you will read in Scripture that we don't hear preached is that God always talks about he prepares people to come to him. They don't just come to him because they wake up and say, I think I just need to. No, no. And so this is what it says here in John 6:45. And again, it's because it's the prophets. We're bringing it forward from Isaiah 54:11. Okay, John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. You will know how well people know God by how well they know Jesus. And so where is it coming from? Isaiah said it when God was prophesying to Jesus as he was forming his future. He said, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Now, stay there because we're going to stay here a minute because you're going to love the end of this. All right? So here's the ISV version for those of you who need less Elizabethan in your life. It is written in the prophets, and all of them will be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to the Father and has learned anything comes to me. John 6:45. What are you saying? I'm saying that the message of the gospel or the reason it brings people to the altar is not the first time they hear from God. God works on people for years and years and years and ages in their lives with situations and circumstances that bring them to him. Now, but then Jesus is the gatekeeper. You know, we always call Jesus the door. We forget to call him the God. See, Jesus is the door to the flock and the door to the shepherd, but he's also a guard against people approaching God unwelcome or ill-prepared or unrighteously or irreverently. Now, look at this. Jesus says, this is the Lord Jesus Christ says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. What are you saying to us today, Dr. Price? What are you trying to tell us? Here's what I want to say to you. I want to tell you that it's a process, and they have an order. They have a hierarchy. They have a sequence. There is a sequence that goes into play when God decides he wants to bring you home. When you read this book, we talk about what bringing you home means. We talk about the Christian being in Christ before the foundation of the world. The Christian that was in Christ before the foundation of the world, God begins to woo all their lives to bring them to their eternal beginning. Literally, connect you with your spirit that came to the planet in the Holy Ghost. You realize that your soul and body came to the planet through your mom and dad, right? Yes. Come on, nod your head. Come on. Okay, some people are like, no. All right, but what if we just say yes? Just come on, let's nod your head. You got to the planet through your mom and dad. I know people tell us that all of the babies drop down out of heaven and into whatever, but you know, biologically, scientifically, that's a nice story. It is incorrect. Everybody, every physical being in the planet is hosting the future. The future generations. Every being is hosting them. Now, whether you keep them or lose it, whether you trash them or not, not the case. That's not this discussion. So when you came to the, when your parents came to the planet, when they were born, you were already there. You just needed to meet your other side. You needed to meet your mom or your dad. So your parents carried you around in the warehouse of their reproductive organs until it was time to put you together, the piece of you that your mom had and the piece of you that your dad had, until it was time for those two to meet to produce you. They were still in the planet just waiting for all that God set up and staged to bring you into existence. Isn't that nice to hear? Well, why are you telling me that? Because now I can tell you that the Holy Spirit, when he came, he brought your eternal spirit back to the planet with him. Now, it came the first time with Jesus Christ. Your spirit came, and Jesus lived with it and did all that he did, and then he took it to hell. And that is how you have paid the price for sin. Just like the kid, the sperm that's in the egg or the baby in the womb when the mother is killed and suffers a mortal death, that baby dies. Okay? And so, and if the mother goes into arrest, it is highly possible that when they bring mom back, the baby's still hanging on with whatever residuals. But it's all in that body. So when God poured out Pentecost, he did not just pour out the Holy Spirit for people to talk in tongues. He poured out his entire population of new creation saints. Come on, somebody. Now that is good. You better know that's good. The entire population of the new creation saint, the apostolic Christian, came to the planet in the Holy Ghost in the same way that you were in Christ when he came to the planet, and in the very same way that you were in your mom and your dad. You know that's good. You better come on and give God some sugar praise. That man deserves some praise. Can you think of the brilliant? What kind of mind can even conceive of something like that? And the Holy Spirit says, that's why they can't get rid of the church, because the Holy Spirit is not finished dumping the babies. That's what Jesus means when he says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Holy Spirit is going to keep on having babies, because the entire population of the Christian is in the Holy Ghost. That means even though he's bringing natural children into existence to make them eternal kids, to put them together with their eternal spirits. Oh, to help me, God, shed it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Man, I can't help it just loving on this man called Jesus. Oh, God, help me. Hallelujah. See, the gospel is exciting when we preach it. So you need to recognize that you, in order to be born again, when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, he was saying, we're going to ship those spirits to earth. We're shipping the entire population of God's kingdom, the inhabitants of the Godhead. We're shipping them to the planet, and in order for you to come back and spend life with me, you must be born again. Now, you know that's good. Come on, take a minute and clap them. In your house, I want you to clap them. All right, sugar praise. Come on, sugar praise. You know that is sugar praise time. Clap them hands. Hallelujah. I'm going to clap for you and shout hallelujah. Paul, me, this is not a good gospel. This is a mighty gospel. And you know what I love? I love that this man chose me to tell his truth like that, chose me to make it plain to his people. God, that's a gift. That's a gift. That's an anointing. But, Lord, that's a privilege. And I'm going to take a minute to thank him for one more time. God, I just love you. Hallelujah. God, I just praise you. Lord, I thank you that you didn't give up on us. I thank you that before you created the world, you'd already figured out how you're going to get us back into your world. God, I praise you. God, I praise you. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm going to cut up. I'm cutting up today because his name is Jesus. You cannot tell me he's not God. Won't tell me, I will never buy it. I'm back. Anyway, that was
so unfair.
So, apostles help you know your God. It is unfortunate that you all find God so distasteful and so unpleasant and so unappealing and unattractive. That is a failure of these offices for the church to find the God that shipped them to the planet, who put them in Christ before the foundation of the world, to turn around and produce children that disdain their father. That is a failure. The failure is not in God, people. It's in us. We failed it. But aren't we glad that we're not dying tonight and the rapture's not tomorrow? So guess what we get? We get an opportunity to straighten it up and get it right. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. Oh, Lord. I tell you, I'm coming to the end, but you know I got to take my time. I get too excited, guys. I have to get those rest. You know, the Holy Ghost gets so powerful in me. He's just like, ooh, tearing up my spirit. And he's just breaking out on what I got to get a rest because I need to do a couple of inhales and exhales just for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to inhale. Hallelujah. Exhale. Hallelujah. Got to bless this man. You know he's my sugar. You know I love him. I love this man. I'm telling you, this is a sweet God. We got the best. Folks, we traded up. I want you to understand. You may have been born to the God of this world, but baby, we traded up. We went and got the man who saved all emotion. Yes. Oh, see, I said, oh, Jesus, see, I'm going to have to just go crazy. But I'm going to be all right. I'm going to finish this, okay, guys? Help me out here, somebody. Help me out. Woo! Oh, Lord, they helping me praise. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, I just love this man. I am. When you know what salvation really is and when you know what it does, when you know why it has to be, I'm telling you, glory to God Almighty, you begin to fall in love with this man again. You begin to fall in love with salvation. You don't like your salvation because you don't know it. You don't like being holy because you don't know it. You love your God and don't like his ways because you just don't know them. Oh, but he's a sugar. Whew, I tell you, I told Jesus one time, you better be glad you're in heaven because I'm going to tell you, sugar, I'm going to wrap my arms around you. I'll be hanging on that man's neck like a piece of jewelry. Yes, I would. I'll be that ornament around his neck. I'm going to hang down there. I'm going to be the pendant hanging in the front. Yes, I am. Watch. He better be glad he can't be seen because I'll get him. And I told him. I told him, I said, I'll get him. Yes, I will. I'll grab a hold to him and not let go. Yes, I will. He walk around and say, what is that on you, Paula? Well, why won't she let? I ain't going nowhere. I'm jewelry. Consider me your jewelry. I'm going to be that ornament about his neck. You watch. Y'all, rest of y'all got to find your own place. I already picked out mine. Hallelujah. I already picked out mine. Yes, I did. All right, Jesus leads to God and guards the way to God. You need to understand, all things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is. Now, this is good, people, except the Son and the person to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. I don't know about you, but that last phrase is full of implication. No one knows who the Father is except the Son. Now, remember, we started this talking about that. Those that God draws will come to Jesus. You see, we want to bypass the Son. That's like you having your business over to your kid and folks ignoring your kids and bypassing your kids to just go on right to you. And you saying, but wait a minute, I put this in the hands of my kid. Now, here's the best part with getting to the 10 stages. I bet you wondered if we were going to get there. But we are there. The 10 stages. God's 10 stages of divine approach. Number one, see, I got it in this pretty little color here because it's the gospel of peace. You know, peace makes you think of peace. You say all this, see, that's the least of my brain work. Okay, I don't know what I would have done on the workshop because this is what I came up with. All right, the first stage is presentment. God announces himself. We said that nobody can come to God unless God, who sent Jesus, draws them. The only way you can get to God is through Jesus Christ because God, get ready to go out there again. Actually, I'm going on the limb. On the limb. Because God is omniscient, omnipresent, and which means he's everywhere. In order for us to access God, God had to give himself a door to get into his infinite being. And that infinite being needed a door, and the door he gave himself is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not another being. I know y'all think that it's God A, B, and C. No, Jesus Christ is not another being. Jesus Christ is another manifestation of God. Now, here's where it gets good. Holy God, I'm going here. I'll tell that Moshiach. Let me tell you where it gets good. Come on, let's lean in. Lean in with me. Come on, lean in. Let's lean in. It gets good because you have to recognize that God does all at once what we need to do in time and space segments. If you're a teacher, and then you're a mother, and then you're a daughter, and then you're an aunt, and then you are a friend, and then you're a student, and then you are, and then you are, and then you are. You realize you fill all of these roles throughout your life. Sometimes all in one day. Do you know what makes you different from God? Is that he does it all at one time. So he is everywhere present at once because all of his being is extended. So any role he needs to fill at any given point in time, he can do it. Almighty God. He can manifest as Yahweh of the Old Testament. He can manifest as Yeshua of the New. He can manifest as the Ancient of Days. And he can do it all at the same time because he is everywhere. He's just making himself, he's taking himself from being invisible and making himself visible or manifest. Come on, sugar pie, Jesus, you're a sweet man. And he does it all at once. It's the same God, and the same God, he just is not limited by time and space on how he wants to show up to handle his affairs. Now, did you all like that? Did I get some hearts?
The teacher, Apostle Paula,
ate Christ. They found my initial. Okay. I know I'm in there now. I got my initial. I want you to hear this. So, that's why the Godhead is one. He said the Lord our God is one. We cannot fathom that. But it would be as if a person, if you think about somebody who has seven kids all look alike, etc., then they all showing up in different places. They're still one gene, one person, one stream, genetic stream, and so, but they show up everywhere at once. But God did it first, and God does it all the time. The reason you can't wrap your head around God is because you're binding God to a concept of time and space, and he's not. When God shows up, that's a time. And when God appears, that's a space. And so Jesus is the door to God the Father because God is too big for himself personally to shrink down and show up in one place. And the only way he can actually show up in any particular place in a visual form is through the door, Jesus Christ, through his other manifestation as the Son. Which is why Jesus says at the end, when the Son has captured everything he needs to capture and brought all kingdoms under his dominion, he's then going to turn himself back into God, and the door is shut. And shut the door. And no one will be able to get into God after that. Oh, come on, say that, Osatama. You know we got to give a sugar praise. It's sugar praise time. Come on and give him a sugar praise. Yes. All right, I'm going to try to get to these 10. Now, the second stage is encounter. God gauges your interest. So he may do some very casual things in the beginning, like, I wonder if there's a God. He'll start, make you think, I wonder if there's a God. And then you'll meet somebody who'll tell you about God. That's the encounter. He'll send somebody who'll begin to talk about God. How you react to that person will tell God whether or not you're interested and should he go forward at that time. You know how many times we went into a church, we went on spiritual, when I was a Baptist, I did it, went on spiritual church and picked at everybody. Yes, I did, and here I am one. Oh, come on, somebody. God knew my future. The next one, assessment. Then God weighs your response. So he's gauged your interest, and he said, okay, I'll step a little closer. I'll come in just a little bit more, and let's see what we'll do. I want to take a closer look at this. So he wants to take a closer look at you, but he wants you to take a closer look at him. And so he weighs your response. What do you feel? Oh, that's religious. Oh, that's Christian. Oh, that's so. Or, wow, well, I don't know yet what I feel. I don't know what I believe yet. I'm not even sure I'm believing anything right now, but I think I want to go on. And so he takes you from assessment, and then you go into indoctrination. Then he sends you people to teach you about it. Now, he sends you not just people to teach you about him. He sends you people to teach you about all of his adversaries, too. So you'll learn about all the other religions. Because now he wants to, he's weighing your response, remember? So now he wants to know if you are his child, it will show up because you will end up rejecting everybody but him. Whew, now you know this is good. Is this good? This is good. And then formation. Well, you've accepted the indoctrination and since no word of God is devoid of power, and God's word is in power and demonstration of the Spirit, things begin to happen in you, and God begins to form himself in you. Because, see, by indoctrination, you still haven't left, so if you haven't left, you must want to be kept. And so he begins to form his son in you. And all of a sudden, you understand Jesus. Because, see, indoctrination, everyone who has learned of God comes to Jesus Christ. Everyone who has learned of the true and living God comes to Jesus Christ. You have to recognize you can only come to Jesus Christ if your spirit was in that Pentecost population that came to earth in the Holy Ghost. Because everybody that God wants to keep, he already kept. Everybody that God wants in eternity, he began them in eternity. Everybody he wants in Christ, he began in Christ. And if you read your Bible the way it's written instead of how it's preached, you'll see God called those that want to be with him. So he begins to form his son in you. He begins to, all of a sudden, you begin to understand Jesus. Jesus suddenly makes sense. He's no longer the mockery, scorn, ridicule that you've heard, and you begin to get bothered by people who do that to him. You begin to get bothered by people who make fun of him and all of that. That's because you were in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, assignment. God then, the next thing he does is test your obedience. Okay, so how serious are you? The seriousness of who God is to you and what you believe in God will show up in how much God can get you to do without muscling you. So if he doesn't have to muscle you, if all of a sudden his formation of his son in you, the son of his love, then God's love begins to literally anoint your will. Oh, and all of a sudden, everything you swore you'd never do in life, you just can't wait to do. And your tears running down your face because you know that your mind remembers your obstinacy and your resistance to God and your rejection of God. And because your mind remembers that, oh, come on, somebody, power of the gospel. So God begins to test your obedience because God said faith works by love. And when you love somebody, there is nothing they can't ask you to do. You know, I like to hear people say, I love the Lord, but. Well, I really love the Lord, but. Well, I really love God, but God knows that I love him in my heart. He needs you to love him in your life. He needs you to love him in your words. He needs you to love him in your faith. He needs you to love him in your sacrifice. He needs you to love him in your service. He needs you to love him in your forgiveness. He needs you to love him in your mercy. He needs you to love him in your kindness, in your good, and in your deeds, and in your generosity, and your liberality. Because let me tell you something. When you love God, however way people treat you will not matter because you're in love. And you've been in love before, and you know when you have people, you can tell when you really love God because when you really love him, people's dislike for God doesn't bother you. The fact that you get offended and you got to leave church because your friend doesn't like God, your love is not yet perfect because perfect love casts out fear, and your fear of losing your friend will die the minute your love for Christ is made perfect. Your fear of losing your home, your fear of what you have to put on the altar. Abraham had that kind of love. There was no gospel. There was no incarnate Christ. There was Abraham and the Almighty. And he said, go take your grown son, your old son, take him up to the mountain, strap him down, and kill him. And you know what? He was ready to do it. But God wanted a matter of record on earth. He already knew in heaven that Abraham wasn't going to do it, which is why the ram was in the thicket. But Abraham was blinded to the ram in the thicket because he was blinded by his love for his God. And when God, that his love was unshakable, and Abraham said, well, he gave me one kid, he'll give me another. Abraham passed the test that Adam failed. Adam should have known that if God gave him one wife, he'd give him another, one more compatible. But he didn't trust God to give him another wife. So he let his wife cause him to sell out his God. Preacher man, hear me. Abraham knew that if God gave him, because remember, in order for God to make Abraham and Sarah conceive, God had to give them the youth. He had to literally put youth back in their body. He had to do some, that's why it took 25 years. He had to override the laws of sin and death. He had to override and reverse aging. He had to override and reverse all of the biological shutdown. He had to do a lot for this man to conceive one kid. And it took him longer to get Sarah on board than it did Abraham. Abraham got Ishmael. 13 years later, Sarah's ready. He turned back the hands of time for both of them. So how could this man not want to give him back what he gave him? Abraham considered the sacrifice was just a matter of giving him back to the Lord. Are you enjoying this? Is this speaking to you? God tests your obedience And let me tell you, sometimes it's a little baby test. Go to this church on the corner that is not big, not elaborate, not ornate. Nobody's going to praise you. Nobody's going to celebrate you. I want you to go to this little ugly church right on the corner. You wouldn't be caught dead there, would you? But that was your first test. All right? I want you to go over here, and I want you to take and give so-and-so this amount of this. Or I want you to take and give so-and-so your that or that. If God, those are, if you are ready to trade God out for material stuff, your love is not yet perfect. Stuff that you can replace. God didn't even have to replace it. You can replace it. If you have to give a big seat to somebody, you just go to work and replace the money. Not hard. You got to give somebody your car, you just go to work and get another car. Okay? You see what I mean? So God is like, you don't even believe me for the things that you can replace, that I can arrange for you to replace. To replenish. How in the world are you going to believe me for the things only I can do in your life? Isaac was something only God could do in Abraham's life. And Abraham had to believe him for that. So, yes, God does test your obedience. Appointment. God attempts to use you. Oh, yes, you know how that goes. Wow, I got a ministry. Do you know what? Just because you have a ministry does not mean you're in your calling. Because, you know, just because you're exercising your gifting doesn't mean you're in your calling. Because the gifts and calling, if you read that passage, it says the gifts, plural, and the calling, singular, are without repentance. And many times you are 10 years exercising your gifts and strengthening your gifts before you enter your calling. But God will give you appointments. So he'll appoint you to pastor this little church. He'll appoint you to be deacon. He'll appoint you to the praise and worship team. He'll appoint you to start a business for him. He'll appoint you to go rescue somebody. He'll appoint you to go fight off some devils. He'll appoint you to do things. What is he doing? You're building a resume for God. God already knows what you will do, but the world doesn't know that God should use you. And it can't know God should use you until you build a track record with God. Now, you know that's good, isn't it? Isn't that good? I know it is. You know why? Because we have to make sense out of this thing. Half of you all thought, well, God told me I was going to go to the nations, and all he, after a while, he just sent you to the neighborhood. You're like, God really upset. Okay, well, I miss God. No, if you couldn't win your neighborhood, you weren't going to win a nation. But if you won your neighborhood, then God could tell Satan and all the hosts, you will win the nations. You know, God likes fighters. God likes warriors. I don't care what anyone tells you. We could talk about all of that other stuff. That's church stuff. Yeah, we want to behave in church, but we got to win kingdoms. God likes warriors. He likes conquerors. Why? Because God is a warrior. God wants us to be like him. If he's going to bear fruit after his own kind, we have got to be conquerors. We've got to be warriors. We've got to be masterful. We've got to be bold. We've got to be determined. We've got to be stable and steadfast. We cannot keep sounding like some sort of fickle person with 55 minds. We're past schizophrenia. We left bipolar 10 years ago. And we've been swimming in manic for the last 40 years. All of that emotionalism, all of that drippy, charismatic, we don't even know what. Nobody's going to take God seriously like that. Well, yeah, I started my church, but then three people came, and then after that, you know, nobody came, so I stopped. No, God wants you to start your church and sit there, read your Bible, and play your praise worship until he sends somebody there. And he wants you to be there every week on time. And just sit and pray. And then he'll send one person. And then you'll sit with that person. And you'll sing and pray. And then he'll send two more. And he'll send 10. But you know what? If you're gone the day before he sends the one is going to think they missed God. This is wisdom. See, we know word. We know works. But we need wisdom. You go to work and you get a job and they tell you that, you know, the job that God told you we're going to get is no longer available, so you don't take it. But God is sending you there to see if you'll obey him. Because, see, God knows who's going to get sick, who's going to move, and who's going to get fired. And you need to trust God by faith. Trying to tell you how to do it. Enlistment. Then God puts you in your service. Once he proves to all his visible and invisible beings, creatures, that you are faithful in your sphere, then he enlists you and he puts you in his service. And then he sends you out in his name. See, a lot of people went and you think they were sent. See, so we chase and went and ignoring the sent. You know, the word, listen, David's son, Absalom, turned the heads of the people, but his father never sent him. His father never told him. Adonijah had a whole, I mean, a whole coronation. I mean, he is bored. He went there. He had a party. He had the inauguration ceremony. But then all of a sudden, somebody started blowing the trumpets in the city. Because, you see, Adonijah may have had the crowd, but Solomon had the crowd. And you need to see, you need to look for who isn't always there and not be infatuated with who never leaves. Last one, guys, inspection. God examines your work and your fruit. Everything that God does, you must give an account to him for, because it takes God a lot. I know we are so accustomed to thinking that God, because God is God, he can make anything happen, he can do anything, he's easy. No. Hear me, people, hear this, you're going to love it. In order for God to give you a job, he's got to take that job from somebody else, or he has to prevent someone else from getting it. There is a whole host of maneuvers that go into your blessings, which is why God tells you to praise him and also why he tells you to sow a seed. That's why he tells you to sow a seed, because you cause God to intervene in the normal course of life by your prayers, by your needs, by your position or your stature as his child, and you caused him to go into that, and as a result, he broke through for you, and you don't even want to thank him. He gives you a job, and then you're ready to quit in 2 weeks. I'm sorry, commute too long. The hours are too late. They want me to do my, they don't pay me enough, all of this. Well, you were getting no pay before. So now, not enough pay isn't better. So I hear God saying to you, stop walking around trashing my blessings because you think it was easy for me because I made it easy for you. And sow the seeds that God tells you to sow. Sow those seeds to whoever that is or wherever he does. In other words, let your obedience test, with flying colors, pass it. Let it fly. Let people know, I obey God. You know, I never get concerned about what they did with my seed or my money. You know why? Because I gave the paper to a man, but the currency I gave to Jesus Christ. And I count him faithful over my emotional and spiritual currency. DrPaulaAPrice.com, if you want to sow a seed, DrPaulaAPrice.com, have a button, and you can sow to that. But I want to tell you tonight, this is very important. I want to tell you, you can't miss your times of visitation. And people have been telling you that for years. Now you know what it means. Now you know what it means to miss your time of visitation. You can go back and listen to this again and again and again and share it with your clients. Thank you, baby. This is Cookie over here. She always helps me out. But most importantly, know your God. So my time is up. I love you dearly. Thursday morning, 11 o'clock, Paula Price Show. Thursday evening, Prophetic Ed, and you know it's going to be a blast. Please, everybody, let's continue to do this, especially my apostolic partners and comrades. Let's share this thing, and let's blow it out of the water. I believe we can. Until Thursday, good night.